0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Lindsay, good afternoon, Lindsay.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Okay, and an unusual problem. You explain what the issue is. How are you, anyway, to begin with?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Okay.
I suppose my issue is, it's a bit embarrassing, to be honest. I have suffered from large breasts all my life.
Okay.
And I went to my GP with back pain and neck pain. Mm-hmm. And he referred me to a consultant.
Okay.
So the consultant did the examination and recommended that I go for a breast reduction procedure.
Okay.
So then he sent a letter to the insurance company. I don't know if I should name them or not.
Yes, of course, of course. We'll go hand in hand to the High Court, Lindsay. Don't be worrying. This is a really important story. Just explain to people, Lindsay, before you move into the challenge ahead and the insurance company, just explain to listeners the difficulties, the challenges. And you said earlier you used the word embarrassment, but all those issues that this issue of your physical appearance, the fact that you have large breasts, has on you in your day-to-day life.
Yes, well, I suppose the summertime is the worst part. It's kind of a nightmare, mm-hmm. because you're wearing lighter clothes and they're more obvious. I normally kind of carry a jacket or a light jumper on my front area just to hide them if I'm going anywhere.
Okay.
I won't go abroad because there's absolutely no way I would get into a swimsuit or bikini. Oh, I'd be too embarrassed. Okay. So It's that kind of trying to get clothes to fit, even trying to get a bra to fit, because it's very hard to get a larger size from. You definitely can't get them in the shops. You have to order online.
Okay.
And even at that, it's still quite hard to get one. So they would be. And yeah, it's. I suppose your mental health as well. Like, you know, you're just totally conscious and. You know, like any woman, I suppose they normally change about 10 to 20 times before they go out of the house or to go outside. Yeah. But for me, I try not to go out. I'd rather stay at home, to be honest.
Oh, God.
So.
And has it got especially worse in the last few years, Lindsay, in terms of none of us are getting any younger, as the fellow said? But does the board, does it change?
Oh, definitely, because I suppose once I started the menopause quite young.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually increased about 3 to 4 sizes since I started the menopause.
Okay.
Which was even worse. So there isn't. The only way is breast reduction, but unfortunately, it's not working in my favour at the moment to get the breast reduction done.
Okay, why? Why? What is the challenge?
The insurance company have a criteria where your BMI has to be 27, less than 27.5, which mine is a little higher. So I'm talking maybe 6-7 pounds I need to lose. But with the menopause, it's quite difficult to lose weight.
Yeah.
I have joined like a slimming club trying to lose weight, but it's not happening very fast. You're talking maybe 0.5 pound every couple of weeks, and it's very difficult. So,
and it's very difficult, I suspect, because of the situation that you find yourself in. That is, you can't go swimming, you can't go running, you can't go to no fault of your own.
Yeah.
So that becomes
So they just won't cover me at the moment, and the operation itself is about €8,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of looking at that option now myself, maybe try and just pay for it myself, try and maybe take
but
a loan
sake,
out. Or
but for the sake of 5 or 6 pounds in weight, they want you to get, you've obviously lost some with great effort, but great difficulty as well, given your circumstances. But they're saying for the sake of 4 or 5 pounds, you're going to have to shell out €8,000.
Yeah. And I suppose, Joe, what annoys me more than anything, like, if you want to get it done on the public health service, okay, I'll be waiting 5 years to have it done. Yeah. But I know ladies who are friends of mine, and they're actually big ladies who would be like 4 or 5 stone overweight who've had it done on the public health service.
Okay.
And didn't cost them anything. So, like, when you see 3-4 stone and the difference to, like, 5 or 6 pounds, it's very unfair.
And just again, Lindsay, if I'm not being too intrusive, my understanding from your contact with us is that your difficulty is from the waist up, that the rest of your body is of normal size, if whatever that means in the world. I don't know what it means in the world we live in.
Pretty average for
women. Okay. And tell me about your mental health and the mental pressures on this. So you already said about going out.
Yes. You can get pretty down because you're constantly trying clothes and you're trying to, you know, us women, no more than men, you want to look nice. And I know some ladies would much prefer to have bigger breasts. But for me, the problem I have as well is that one is kind of actually bigger than the other.
Yeah.
So it makes even bra sizes more difficult. And
you talk about bras being difficult to source. What about clothes?
Well, clothes, I can't actually wear dresses.
Okay.
Because I have to buy a bigger size for my top area,
and
then the bottom half is swimming on me.
Yeah.
So it's like tops, bigger, huge sizes that I have to buy. And I just look out of proportion, you know, compared to the rest of my body.
Yeah. Stay with us, Lindsay. Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is the text number, and the WhatsApp voice message number is 087 1843 709. We have a statement from the VHI.
Okay.
Lindsay, but you or I will be none the wiser. If I translated this using Google Translate into Esperanto, I would understand it. It would have more meaning, I suspect. But anyway, this is the response we do get, and in fairness, this is their argument. The VHI provides benefit for breast reduction surgery for its members. We know that. It is subject to prior approval, and benefit for this surgery is subject to a number of criteria being met. We know that, and you have met those criteria with your GP, haven't you? Your GP is fully supportive.
And my consultant,
Okay, and your consultant, so there's number two. Each request for benefit is assessed on a case-by-case basis based on the information provided. So we've learned nothing new there.
No.
Have we?
No, they won't give you any information. And I think most of the insurance companies are the same. Like, my consultant was actually saying they just don't want to pay out. As simple as that.
But do they not? But they must realise, as you say, your consultant, your GP, is saying this would make an incredible difference, difference. So how do you cope? How do you cope at the minute? Like, in terms of, you mentioned your back pain.
I rang the doctor this morning for more painkillers my back and my neck. I've got. It's called a guided catheter injection down into my neck, which is pretty painful for my neck pain. And you can see actually marks where the strap of the bra is digging into my shoulders.
Okay.
And I suppose I just want to make it awareness for other women that have the same issue, you know, that this is the problem we're facing with insurance companies, that they just won't pay out. And, like, I've been paying health insurance all my life.
And it, by the way, it is only a women's issue.
Yes.
Biological women's issue. It is only a women's issue.
Yeah.
And I know it's not the insurance company involved, it's VHI here, but like in other insurance companies, I think one of them says, we will fix you even before you are ill, which is an incredible claim, but anyway, I'll go with it. It's in their ad, we will fix you before you're even ill.
Yeah.
And here you have all these, you've detailed all these symptoms, your GP has weighed in, your consultant has added their voice as well, but still to no avail. Helen, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
You were in a similar position.
everything that Lindsay said resonated with me very much. I'm actually a year post-surgery.
Okay.
And, yeah, I was fortunate enough to get it done with CHI.
Okay.
But it wasn't, like, it was a bit of a struggle, and everything that Lindsay is going through, I went through. But unfortunately, with the BMI, it's a terrible kind of way to look at mm-hmm. how a person, their composition, like, you know, yeah. their bone density, like, there's so much else that is beyond a BMI. It's not a metric that really should be used.
Okay.
Like, when you even look at the example for, like, my breasts alone must have, I can't remember how much, but I remember he took out at least, I think it was 20 pounds or something per, well, between the both breasts.
Okay.
And so can you imagine the extra weight that you're yeah. already carrying, plus yeah. then on top of everything else, all the physical symptoms, your back pain,
the difference it made, Helen.
Oh, I'm a new woman. I'm not going to lie. Like,
wow.
As Lindsay said, yeah, I would do it again in a heartbeat. It didn't take long to recover. It was a grueling process. I had to get down the BMI as well. Mm. I was in that situation, and I knuckled down, and it was terrible because I was, like Lindsay, I was normal. I was size 10 on the bottom, and I ended up wearing size 12 to 14, maybe 14 to 16 on top because my breasts were so large. But I joined a gym and a grueling 6-week program I was determined to get down the weight.
Yeah.
And I had a nutritionist advising me and stuff like that. And I got it down, but it's kind of ironic because it's slightly up now because the weight I got to wasn't very sustainable because it was so low.
But when your weight went down, Helen, do you mind me asking, did your breast size reduce?
No, not a bit.
Wow.
Everything else went down, but my breast stayed the same. And like Lindsay said, one of my breasts was actually larger than the other as well.
Yeah.
So like that. But I can now walk into Penny's or Dunn's and buy a bra. I can now wear tops that match my figure, my composition. And I don't feel like embarrassed or ashamed going out in public anymore. Because at that time, when I had the large breasts, they were like nearly an attraction point for, unfortunately, for some men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very uncomfortable. Physically and mentally as well. Like I said last year, I was on the show last year, this time last year, but just before I got the surgery, and I was taking family pictures and I ended up deleting them. I couldn't look at them because all I saw were these huge breasts taking over the whole picture, you know?
God.
Yeah, so, but now I can, like, you know, it's worth it. I know it's, and the one thing I will say is VHI are the actual, they're the more, all the other insurance companies are more strict in their criteria.
Okay. Well, that's very fair to say, yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, so they seem to be the more kind of flexible. But in saying that, I don't think a BMI should be an appropriate metric to, you know, for breast reduction surgery, especially if one is complaining of physical pain because,
well,
you know, how you do exercise.
Especially as the difference that you've outlined, Helen, is life-changing.
100%.
It's life-changing.
Like I can now run. I can wear, like, I used to have to wear two bras to try and keep, to support my breast.
Yeah.
I can now just go into Dunn's, pick up a regular sports bra and get off on the street and not feel that people are watching me. I don't feel they're not bouncing up and down like, you know, I feel comfortable in my own skin.
And I think that's
a huge thing.
Is it a quick recovery, Helen?
Very quick.
So I
was only in the hospital. I was in overnight. I got home and I took 2 weeks off work. But I was, you know, I just to kind of rest, recover. But I felt, even the minute I saw them in the mirror after surgery, I actually started crying. It was just immense, the relief. And the recovery was quite, it was grand. It was fine. Now, I had two young kids as well. So it wasn't a matter of fact where I could just lie down and, you know,
I was up and about.
But I think that helped my mindset as well. But it wasn't arduous at all. The process of recovery was actually quite easy, thank God. So, but I would just offer a bit of hope and just to hang in there and, you know, to try and find a way to just, I know the BMI, it's a terrible thing, but look, that's going to be their criteria. But if it's a way of even trying to get a nutritionist or something to help you, Lindsay, with, you know, especially with the menopause and stuff, and because you're only a few pounds away, it's not like you've a lot to lose, you know. So, and I know once you get for me anyway, once I had the BMI down, I had surgery within 2-3 weeks. I was waiting for the consultant to come back from holidays. So, you know, it's a quick enough process.
Yes.
But as you
yes,
say,
they did say that actually.
But as you say, yeah. Helen, the metric is extremely strict, and you think extremely limiting as well, and doesn't give the full picture. The metric
it's
that
totally
the HIA are using and other insurance companies. 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Liz, good afternoon. You're listening to Lindsay.
Hi, Joe. Joe, my heart goes out to Lindsay.
Yeah.
I am 69 years of age, and I had this operation a year ago last March.
Okay.
When I was with my consultant, when I went for the first consultant session, I was thinking, oh, she's probably going to say her age. Are you mad? She didn't even... She kind of looked at me as if that doesn't not an issue. So she mentioned the BMI and health insurance. And I said, well, look, my BMI is over 30. I don't have health insurance, but I'm saved up and I'm paying for it privately. She said, your BMI is not a problem from the surgery.
Okay.
Definitely.
Interesting, yeah.
So the relief is absolutely amazing. The grooves have settled down on my shoulders. No neck pain. I walk better. Like, I'm short. I'm only about 5'1".
Yeah.
I walk better. The best thing ever. I've had brilliant summers because I don't have that awful irritation under the breasts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Best thing ever. Best thing ever. And God love Lindsay. 5 or 6 pounds. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you saved and had it done yourself.
I did, yeah. I did. And at 69, like, wow, I'm thrilled. Absolutely.
That's still young.
And it wasn't for aesthetics, it was for comfort.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Fantastic. Yes. And as you say, which is a critical thing, that your consultant, your surgeon said, as far as I'm concerned, your BMI is not an issue, Liz. I'm going to do this because it will be life-changing. And that's what happened. But the VHI and your insurance company seem to say, well, we're making BMI an issue.
Yeah. And Joe, during my discussion with say, the accountants, whatever, with the hospital, I spoke to more women who are having it done.
Yeah.
And a lot of it wasn't for aesthetics.
Of course,
it was for comfort.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joe, look, the best to Lindsay.
Well
said. Hope she will get it done.
Okay, well said, Liz. Well said. Mary, before the break. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi there. Hi, Joe.
Good. Mary, you're listening to Lindsay.
I am, yeah. And I just wanted to kind of say, give her a little bit of advice.
Okay.
That you can get, Lindsay might be aware already, you can get very good bras in good shops and good shops online for bigger breasts.
Okay.
And they really, like, I couldn't live without them. They're about €50, but, I mean, that's what you have to pay. I presume Lindsay might already know this. I was just throwing it in there.
Okay. Yes, I do. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Still find them quite hard to get. And then when you get them, you might order the same size in two different brands, and they're completely different sizes.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
another issue. And then you have, they dig into you as well, you know, underneath, and you get rashes from, you know, being...
Are they the underwear ones, Lindsay?
Well, some are and some aren't, you know, but it's mostly my shoulders that's really painful.
Yeah, I know that. And you kind of, I find myself, you tend to have round shoulders from the weight, and it's definitely part of it, isn't it?
And it's quite hard to stand up straight as well, I find.
And the clothes issue is the very same. You can't really buy a dress because the bottom part is like much smaller. It's like three sizes smaller than what you'd need for the top.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've
described it, Mary, thank you so much.
No worries,
Helen and Liz, you've described it so brilliantly. And Lindsay, you have nothing but support in terms of the callers to Liveline today, and we will put it to the VHI again. Is Helen still there? Helen, are you still there?
Yeah. I'm still here. Yeah,
Helen, did you say to me at one stage? And I should be more conscious of my language here, but did you say to me at one stage that men were making remarks?
Yeah. I had an unfortunate incident a couple of years ago where I actually got grabbed from behind. So, yeah, so it's like, you know, it was just, yeah, it was kind of a catalyst then to kind of spiral then when I was very much more ashamed when I just kind of realised that they were a point of attraction for men. And you kind of, you know, like I was trying to cover them up as much as possible, but you get the people looking, they'd be eyeing me up type thing because obviously they were much bigger than the rest of my body because my waist was quite small. So, yeah, but anyway.
And the person who grabbed you from behind, did you, were you able to check them or chastise them or?
It was sorted. I knew the person who did it, unfortunately. But it got sorted in the end. But it just kind of really kind of brought it home to me. You know, how, I suppose, how big they were, how prominent and how they stood out. And obviously were kind of an attraction then for the unwanted, you know. So, but look, I just, as I said, if Lindsay can persevere, it's worth it, you know. It's worth it in the end.
She has the vocal, and we have it here on paper from both her GP and her consultant, saying she needs this. Lindsay, another question someone's put to me: what about sleeping, Lindsay? What's that like? Do you get any respite when you lie down in bed?
Well, it's uncomfortable to lie on your side. Can't lie on my front at all. It's too uncomfortable. So might just lie on my side or my back.
Yeah.
But what that lady was saying there as well about men, and I have got the same from previous places I have worked, that men are actually talking, they're looking at your chest when they're talking to you.
Yeah.
And I've said, like, my face is up here, not down here.
Yeah, well, well,
and you'd be absolutely mortified.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, Lindsay, you've put it so well. I really hope something can happen fairly quickly, because it's such a serious issue. Thanks indeed, Lindsay, and indeed Helen and Mary and Liz. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie. Isabel O'Kane, Isabel, an act of great kindness. What happened?
Well, I had a lovely experience the other day. I was bringing my six-year-old into town on a Saturday morning.
Into Dublin town
from Kimmage Village.
Okay.
Yes. And so we got the number 9 bus, got on, went upstairs, had our little my son had his little dinosaur backpack with him. We'd even spoken about the importance of not losing it.
Uh-huh.
But of course, when we got off in town and we were in Spar, we noticed we didn't have the bag anymore. So we had our little talk about the lesson to be taken, and I emailed Lost some property and forgot about it. Then we're on our way back from
Isabel. when you say we had a, what did you say, we had a little talk about the lesson?
A little talk about, the lesson to be taken and what he should have done, and looking behind ourselves when we leave the bus.
Okay.
But really, it wasn't my responsibility though, Joe.
Because,
oh, well.
Because I was on a bus, the 130, brilliant service. I used it a lot about 10 days ago, and I happened to be sitting beside a mother and a child who were coming from St. Anne's Park. And I thought she was only talking to him, but she said to him once, he was only about 5. He ran away, I think, and he saw a dog or something. He ran over to the dog, and the mother said to him, "Now, what are the takeaways, lessons from today's behaviour?" And I thought, he's only 5.
Like,
what are the takeaways? Okay, anyway, so you said, okay,
what
so
we've done, etc., etc.
Okay. So where do we go next?
So then we went into the Ark, great place. We're on our way back. We're crossing Dame Street. We're about to get our number 9 bus. And we saw a bus. We were literally crossing the pedestrian crossing in front of a bus, which was a number 9. So it was that moment. It was like, will we make the run for it? Will we make it? So we did. We went for it. We made mad dash down Dame Street to get the stop just outside Dunn's and Georgia Street there. Tourists being pushed out of the way.
Yeah, okay.
Me in the bike lane, Sebastian on the path. And we got there.
Okay.
So the doors opened and we stepped on, very happy with ourselves for making our bus. And the driver's like, never run for the bus, he said. And then he goes, did you guys leave an animal backpack on the bus earlier?
Ah.
And we couldn't believe it. At first I thought he had it. But no, he said, no, I found it on another bus. I'm on a different bus now. I know exactly what bus has your bag.
Okay.
He said, it's coming back in the other way, in towards town. It's about Harold's Cross now, he said.
Okay.
So he told me he'd give me a number rather than go through the lost and found process. He said, just go to the garage. I'll give you the number before you get off the bus, which was already really lovely. And we're halfway through the journey and the bus stops and out comes the driver from his cabin with the backpack in hand, and he's like, look at this bit of magic I've done for you.
Brilliant.
And he explained that he put the two noses of the buses together and passed the bag across. He rang the driver.
Isn't that brilliant?
And my first response was, I'm calling Joe Duffy.
Okay.
Yeah.
what a brilliant idea. So the dinosaur bag, like a piece of contraband, was handed over mid traffic by two buses going in opposite directions, slowing down and passing them from window to window. Brilliant.
I know.
Brilliant.
You made such an effort. It was just so lovely.
Okay, now.
Rare.
Now,
yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
The next part, will I go ahead?
No, you won't. Stay there, Isabel, stay there.
Oh, my God.
Because the next element of it is even more unique. First of all, I want to talk to the Dublin Bus employee, Keith McGann. Keith, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you?
All good.
Fair play to you. But you've more to be doing, as the fella said. But what happened?
I realised that the passenger had left the bag on the bus.
Okay.
And I said to her, look, I'd be able to give you the phone number instead of trying to wait for lost and found on Monday. That we'd give her the phone number and hopefully she can get through.
Yeah,
to
but Keith, how did you realise that it was when Isabel got back on your bus? How did you realise it was Isabel?
Right, because the bag was distinctive, and the little kid had got, or her son had got on the bus with the bag, and I was like, it just, you know, it was a very distinctive bag.
Okay.
And then when someone had said to me they left it, and I said, oh, we could see them in the camera.
Ah.
We could sort of see where people were sitting on the
bus.
Okay. So I had sort of said I knew what they looked like, had a fair idea, and it was literally only a couple of, not even an hour or so, because I was going in on my break. And I literally went on my break and picked up the next bus and they were there. So it was they were the last people that I seen getting off the bus, and then they were the first people.
Well, that's a stroke of luck. They get off the bus, you go, have your break, get on a different, start driving a different bus, and they come out, they decide to leave
just come
town.
Out of woodwork.
And coincidentally, who's driving the bus that they chase after? the people still do that, by the way, Keith. Do they still put their life in their hands?
They do, especially sometimes there's bus stops opposite the road and they run straight across the road in front of you, you know.
God.
But sure, that's another topic.
Okay, so you spotted the bag, then you spotted the Isabel and Sebastian, you spotted the two of them, and then you did the handover in midstream, so to speak.
Yeah, but it was only for the help of the controllers and the inspectors that you were able to get in touch with them. And let them know, I found the bag, and I told the inspector earlier on the day that I found the bag if anybody was looking for it. So he knew what bus it was on, and I knew what bus it was on, so he was able to call the other driver, you know.
Right.
So,
and by the way, what do people leave behind the buses now? Mobile phones?
Bags, mobile phones, you name it, they leave it. Glasses, keys. But if anybody ever does do that, the best bet is just get the next bus and ask the bus driver, you know. And he can call it in and try to panic.
Good point. Okay. So, Keith, are you working today?
No, I'm actually off today. I'm actually in Tremor.
Oh, good, man. Well, I hope Cleena and all the gang in Dublin Bus are listening. And Roy and all the bosses are listening that Keith is taking this car when he's on his holidays. Isabel, next step.
So, obviously, I'm really pleased because there was like a flask and a raincoat and stuff in there, and I was already thinking about replacing them. So I was elated. It was just okay. So lovely. And all I had to offer him at the time was a banana, which wasn't really much of an offering. He refused.
Keith. Banana. Okay.
And then I got off the bus with I just felt so full of joy.
Okay.
And
at this stage, you had the bag in your hand, but you'd left Sebastian. But you'd left Sebastian on the bus.
Oh, no, luckily. He held me by the hand.
Okay, so we're off the bus. You still have your banana.
Yeah, went in home, and I might even have called someone. But anyway, I was talking about it, and I was all excited. And then I decided, I'm going to write a poem and a thank you card to this man. But, of course, it was a long story. And, I mean, I don't have a lot of time to write a poem, so like I spent about, like, I don't know, maybe half an hour on it, and I was like, I'm not going to get through this. I can't actually physically get this poem done. It's too complicated. It's just not going to work. So then that night, I was over at my friend's house, and she introduced me to ChatGPT, the AI bot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is amazing. And
just explain, because this is the most bizarre. This is the most bizarre development of this story. You wanted to thank Keith. You thought it was a very long, long story, and you wanted to...
And I was trying to put it into poem form, but I only got into the first phase of the story, and I was poeted out.
Wow.
And, you know...
So okay, for people who don't know about ChatGPT, what did you put in? You put in all the little bits of info.
ChatGPT is basically an AI beta test software that works like your... chatting to someone like an instant messaging.
Okay.
So you can ask it to do anything. It can come up with a creative writing. It can write an essay. It can do like search strategies for the internet. I'm using it now for my thesis. So honestly, I just use it to find, I'm kind of using it like Google now to quickly give me an answer in a very readable way.
So
it'll also be very creative.
So what did you put in to ask ChatGPT AI artificial to write this poem about Keith? What you banged in, bus,
in.
Dublin.
Was this, oh no, I put the story in. So I gave it the whole story and I said, would you put this into a poem for me? So I had like the nice kind of feelings and the ideas in the story.
Okay,
you know?
so you would have put in Keith's name, the number of the bus, the fact that it was Dublin.
Whole story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did ChatGPT regurgitate?
Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, maybe after this break, because I'm
okay.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Are you ready? This is a poem. Now, Isabel, will you claim ownership of this poem or will you allow ChatGPT to possess it? Isabel?
He bought with Isabella Kane. Do you hear me?
Sorry, say again?
I'm writing it as by... ChatGPT AI bot with Isabella King, because it's a collaboration.
Okay, Keith McGann. Keith, is this the first time a bus driver on the number 9 route in Dublin has ever had a poem written about him by a computer?
Definitely.
Okay, off you go. Take your time.
Ode to a Dublin bus driver. In Dublin town, where stories gleam, a magical journey like a dream. From Kimmage's embrace, they set out, Sebastian and Mum with nary a doubt. On number 9 bus, a lively ride, hearts upbeat, side by side. In Sebastian's backpack, they had stores, supplies for adventures, treasures adored. But alas, fate's twist took its course, a bag left behind, a heavy remorse. A raincoat fine and flask so dear, lost on the bus, no longer near.
Uh-huh.
Eyes open wide, a lesson seen, check behind, be thorough and keen. An email sent, hope, soar and fly. Next week's flight, the bag dealt by. On the way home, hearts aflutter. A chance encounter, this moment we'd savour. Keith McGann's face, so full of grace. This driver's smile, a guiding embrace. An animal bag, he asked, with care, glimmer of hope on the afternoon air. Yes, indeed, the bag he'd found on another bus to the depot bound. The journey home, a hopeful ride, but halfway through, joy amplified. The driver appeared, our bag in hand, Sebastian's smile, a wonder so grand. Look at this bit of magic, my dear, a heartwarming gesture, so crystal clear. Two buses had met, like friends of old, a story to cherish, forever told. In Dublin town, where kindness thrives, in simple acts, magic arrives. Connections made, hearts aligned, a sense of community intertwined. And that's it.
The wheels on the bus. Well done, Keith McGann. Keith, you were described. ChatGPT described you as Keith McGann's face, so full of grace. Would that be accurate, Keith?
That would be so accurate.
Okay. Well done, Isabel.
Thanks very much, Isabel.
Yeah, well done. So ChatGPT, Sebastian, the dinosaur bag, Dublin City, two buses going in the opposite directions, managed to meet, and Keith McGann. Well, when are you back in work, Keith?
Tuesday morning.
Okay. Do you the number 9 all the time?
Yeah, Mark did at the number 9. Yeah.
Mark did. Well, what garage are you out of? So Ringsend, is it?
No, Fisbro depot.
Oh, Fisbro, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen.
Can I check, Joe, if he's received the prints out of the poem that I sent into the garage?
I did indeed. Thanks very much. Yeah, well, it was beautiful.
You'll recognise it, Keith, because there's a banana in the envelope as well, rotting away. Keith, are you on holidays in Tremor with friends and family? Yeah,
with my partner and the kids.
Okay, because we've had a text in saying, if that's the lovely Keith McGann with the gorgeous long brown hair that I remember from my youth, I'm not surprised.
I haven't got long hair.
Had you long hair when you were younger?
No. It's okay. Short.
I thought it was an old flame saying you were absolutely gorgeous. She said, which is true, he was always a gent. So take that anyway, Keith. Take it anyway.
Definitely,
okay,
definitely.
Keith. Go to meet a market. Isabel, to you and very Sebastian, very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mind yourself. Happy Friday. Random acts of kindness.
Right.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715
815. Joe at RT.ie. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You were listening earlier on, as indeed a lot of people were, to Lindsay and her challenge, and she's awaiting for a while now, but she needs, as you heard, breast reduction surgery for so many reasons, and she's been told no, unless she can lose her BMI is not the exact metric that the VHI and apparently other insurance companies require, even though if you go and pay for it yourself, the consultant will do it regardless of your BMI once everything else is safe. Sarah, what's your story?
Sorry, Joe, I'm actually very upset. Okay. I'm very upset by this. I'm sorry, I don't have VHI.
Okay.
I've worked all my life.
Yeah.
And just recently I lost my job because our restaurant closed down.
Okay.
And I went to the job seekers allowance and I'm on that. And they asked, if I could get the money to go and get the injection. And they said, yeah, no problem. And I went and got the injection and it helped for a few weeks. But
this is for your back pain.
Lower back, yeah.
Okay.
A nerve block injection.
And is your back pain, can I ask Sarah, caused by the same thing as Lindsay's back pain, which were your breasts.
They're massive. Like, and to be honest with you, since I went into menopause, they've actually doubled in size.
Yeah.
And like a lady said there, like she goes out and she puts a jacket to hide them. I'm the same, you know, I'm constantly putting the jacket to hide them. And I'm also doing things like pretending I'm on my phone and putting my hands in front of them so people don't see me, you know.
Yeah.
And my legs are really skinny and then my upper body, like, you know, it's so painful. But when I went anyway to get from the social welfare, they said, oh, they don't cover it. You know, it's like, oh, it's the health board. But like, Joe, I've spent weeks on the couch with a bucket beside me so I could go to the toilet.
Oh, you poor thing.
And I cough or sneeze, like this nerve pain goes up my spine. I'm sorry.
And the pain is caused by...
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just my breasts. I know it's my breasts that are just affecting it. I had never had this before. Like, okay, I've always had big breasts, but my God, not like they are now, you know?
Okay. And when you got the injection...
But I just wanted...
Take it. Yeah, you did want to walk. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask the woman there that she said she paid for herself how much... I was wondering how much did it cost?
It cost...
When you paid for it yourself?
I think it cost 8,000 euros, Sarah.
Oh, fuck. Bye. Sorry,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But this is an issue that affects women only and seems to affect, because Lindsay mentioned the menopause as well, and you've mentioned it. Dr. Mary Ryan, Mary, good afternoon, as consultant
good
physician.
Good afternoon, Joe. Lovely to talk to you again.
And
are you?
I'm so glad you're on the other line at this particular time, Mary, because I know you know Lindsay, who was on earlier on, and you
yes.
completely agree.
Absolutely. I feel so sorry for these women because it's not their fault that they have large breasts. It's genetic, it's hormonal. There's loads of reasons. And our menopause, is that your last lady stated, they can increase in size as well because there's estrogen receptors on the breast. So once in menopause, once they push those, then they can get large. And the big problem is that these just cause neck pain, back pain,
yeah.
and obviously it's low self-esteem, and you know, women can get a dress to fit, but it's not a cosmetic reason why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think the government and the insurance companies need to realise this. They've put this ridiculous proviso that you have to get to a BMI 25, when in actual fact, with some women, their breasts are so large, it's actually not possible. They'd be
yeah.
walking around like ghosts if they were to do that. So it is very, very difficult, both on the public and the private waiting list. It's dreadful and it's not fair. It's actually of discrimination against women, Joe, because
yeah.
you know, this is something either genetic or just hormonal or
yeah.
around menopause that women develop, and it does cause them terrible problems with neck, musculoskeletal, lower back. You know, it causes physical as well as emotional problems. You see how upset those callers are,
yeah.
and that's all very genuine, and nobody wants to go under the knife unless it's absolutely
yeah.
necessary.
Yeah.
So, you know, my heart does go out to these women, and I really do feel that the government and the insurance companies need to cop on and stop discriminating against these women, because that's in effect what they're doing, is discriminating, because this affects them physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
It's two elements. And I've seen women that are waiting for years and they're having dreadful, and you heard that one of your callers is getting nerve block. It does cause terrible neck and back pain.
Yeah.
And it's dreadful that women have to go around with something that can be so easily sorted. And they would be pain free, as well as the dreadful low self esteem,
yeah.
not being able to get a dress to fit, etc. You know, that's normal things that we all want to do to relax, and these women don't have that luxury, so that's just not fair. You know, so I really feel strongly about this, and I've said it my umpteen times, and particularly with all the talks around menopause, when I see women getting big breasts, and then
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, it's one of the some women get that. But they should be able to deal with it and have them reduced. And you know, Joe, when you get the women coming into you and they've had the breast reduction, it's like they've had a whole
yeah,
new life. So, you know, you
yeah.
see that.
Earlier on,
wonderful.
We heard
yeah.
women earlier
yeah,
on,
yeah.
the difference it made within days, they say, within
yeah,
days.
Massive. So everyone should be given that right. And I don't think anyone should look down on women or judge them, because this is something that just happens as a result of the genetic or hormonal reasons. Nothing you can do, and it should be, there's a medical way and surgical way you can deal with it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And give these women, you know, why should they suffer needlessly? It's just not right.
Sarah, are you on the list, in the public list, to have breast reduction?
No, I'm not, Joe, to be honest with you. I'm not. I didn't even know there was such a thing, to be honest with you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And would you?
Yeah.
Can you speak to your GP? Are you in contact?
Yeah, I definitely will do that tomorrow. 100%.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do now.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes just to say, like, you know, you're going out to buy stuff like a tracksuit, you know, and just like the bottoms are size 12. And, you know, you have to buy two of them in order to get,
you know,
one that fits you. Because you have to get a 16 or an 18 top and, like, a 12 bottom, and
yeah.
you can't get that. You have to actually buy the two, you know?
Yeah. And you must.
It's just really upset.
I know. They can hear that. But you're not alone, Sarah. You're saying.
I feel alone, Joe. I feel alone, Joe. I just feel alone. I mean, who can I talk to about it? I feel so alone. I'm so upset, Joe. I mean, Christ Almighty, I can't walk very far, and I get really bad backache, and I have to come back and sit down. It's just really crazy. I'm sorry, but nobody seems to understand. I look around at all these young kids, and they're all flat chested, and I just think, why was I dealt this deal? Why?
Mary.
I feel so sorry for her. The one thing I would say is urgently get on that list. And as I said, I hope, Joe, you've often done the best by us coming on this show. It has moved mountains with menopause, with everything. And let's hope that we'll do the same and the government will treat this with the urgency that it needs to be. Women deserve to be looked after. They shouldn't be suffering the way that poor woman and all the other callers are and all the patients I've had. It's not right.
And
Sarah, I think it's a thing against women and it's completely wrong.
Exactly, and it's a women's issue only. Sarah, are your family or friends aware of your distress, or work colleagues? I know your cafe shut down.
To be honest with you, Joe, I borrowed €1,500 to go and get that injection because I can't really go back and ask anybody else now because I was sure that the special needs payment was going to cover it. Because the woman told me in the Dole office that they would. And then when I tried to put in for the claim, she said, oh, sorry, it's a HSE issue. And
And if anyone, is there citizens advice in your, in the town? Is there anyone that can advocate on your behalf, Sarah? Now, that could be your GP.
I'll have to go to the GP. I didn't even know about this until now.
You're not alone. Two, you're entitled. Now, the delay, this is the problem that Mary is highlighting, but you are entitled. But from the description of your pain, Sarah, sitting on the couch.
I swear to God, Joe, I was 3 weeks on the couch with a bucket beside me. And I'm telling you something to try and slide over. I'm embarrassed now saying it. It's not just your wee, but obviously you have to do your other business. And my friend is there in another bedroom. And I'm calling her in the middle of the night and said, please, can you come out and help me?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Joe.
We will be in touch with you after the programme, Sarah. And anything, we'll have another conversation with Dr. Mary Ryan off air about anything else we can do to help. But you should not be in this position. You are in this position. You should not be in this position, and you are not alone, and hopefully you will not be in this condition for so long. And it's extraordinarily brave of you, Sarah, what you've just done and what you've just said, given the pain you're going through. It's extraordinary.
Thank you, Joe.
It's extraordinarily courageous.
I was so moved by those three women that spoke. I was so moved, and I just felt, my God.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
You will get help, please, God. Dr. Mary Ryan, thank you as well.
Not at all, Joe. You're very welcome. And as I said, highlighting is really important. And if everyone talks to their disease, urges the government to act as well to look after these women as well as their insurance companies.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Mary. And above all, thank you, Sarah, for being so courageous in making that call. Ashling Grufferty was on sound. BCO's Liam Dunn, producer Shanna Gorman, series producer Annette Egan, Kira King is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.